To St. Mark's this morning. My name is Andrew Bowles. I'm the senior minister here, and I've been here for about 6 weeks now, so still in the getting to know you phase. So very much keen, if you haven't been for a while, or you're new, or you have been for a while and we just haven't had a chance to talk yet, please come and introduce yourself after the service. I want to get to know as many people as I can as members of our congregation. It's great to share with you today on such a cold day, but it's warm in here, and we're thinking today about the reading from Ephesians that we just heard before our last bracket of songs. Now, there are some jobs that if you have them, you tend to get a certain response when you first meet people and they find out what you do. You tend to get the same thing. Some of you might have this kind of job. Psychologists, you might introduce yourself to someone and immediately, oh, I hope you're not analysing me now. Any doctors among us, perhaps when you meet first someone, they describe the symptom that they have. You know, I've got a sore leg, you know, can I talk to you about it? And I have one of those jobs too. So when people find out that I'm a minister, when I first meet them, well, almost without fail, the first thing that they want to tell me and talk to me about is how long it's been since they last went to church. That's almost always the first thing that that people say. Yeah, that's fine. It's an interesting to talk about. Either they say, oh, look, I've never been to church, or I haven't been to church for about 20 years, or I just went last week and they want to tell me where they go. But it's just where people's minds go when they meet me. It's one of those things they think of. And so I'm often talking to people about the church and about their relationship to the church and what it means for them. So that's something that we're thinking about here at St. Mark's at the moment. Particularly, what does it mean for us to be the church? What does it mean to be part of the church? What is the church? What are we supposed to be doing? And that's why we're looking at Ephesians, because it's the part of the Bible that speaks most clearly and deeply about what the church is and what God means it to be. And that means it can help us to think again about what our purpose is here as a church in Emerald as we start a new season of our life. Now, as we've already seen in our series, we've talked a bit about what it means to be the church. We've really seen that being the church is about a lot more than going to church. It's about a lot more than that. You know, so people do want to talk to me often about, you know, when's the last time I went to church or how often they go to church, which can be a helpful conversation. But Paul teaches us that what the church is really about is actually a lot more than this. It's a much bigger thing going on. And really we've seen that the church is about the whole plan of God throughout history to save the world and what he's done to do that. It's a really big thing. It's that big. And so if we want to understand what it means to be the church, we need to have a big picture about what it means to be part of the church. The way that we've been looking at this is through looking at a summary that Paul gives in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 10. Well, he says that God's plan is to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. He's saying Jesus and his church have the mission of dealing in the world with all these things that have become divided from each other in heaven and on earth. So a few weeks ago, we looked at the division between human beings and God that Jesus has come to heal and to help us to be part of. And the division in our own selves between good and evil, between the way we've been made and the way that we've lived, and to bring that back into unity in God's plan. And last week we looked at there's divisions between people, conflicts, wars, all the things that keep us apart from each other. And God wants to heal that as well and to bring us back together. And so if we look, and as we look through the rest of Ephesians, we'll see there are more areas of division that God is working on, and that's part of his plan. And so all these things, in all these areas, God wants to bring salvation to the world, healing, through the work of Jesus Christ. And to be part of that is what it means to be the church. That's what we're being called to be. Today's passage makes us think, though, I think more deeply about our own personal relationship to the church. And what does it mean to be a member of the church? And how do we relate to the church as individuals? And that's perhaps what people are wondering about when they want to talk to me about how often they attend worship services. Just thinking about, well, what's my relationship to the church? Do I come to church often enough? How many is enough? What's the expectation? You might not know this, but technically speaking, you can be a member of the Anglican Church, and if you want to come to our annual general meeting and vote, you have to come to church a certain number of times a year. Does anyone know how many times that is? Well, you Anglican law experts. No. 12 times. So if you'd like to be, if you'd like to come to the meeting and vote, 12 times a year, then you can be a member. Now, is that really what church membership is about? maybe. Or perhaps if you think about the census, you know, you might have ticked a particular box. I'm a member of that religion. Is that what it means to identify ourselves that way? What does it mean to be a member of the church? Paul thinks of the membership of the church a bit differently to that, not in terms of how many times you've been to church a year or things that we identify ourselves, but he thinks, as we read in verse 7, that to be part of the church for Paul means that he is a servant of the gospel. This is how he describes it. He's a servant of the gospel. And he says, God's grace has taken hold of his life and changed it completely. And now he lives with a purpose to make known to people what Jesus has done. He calls it the unsearchable riches of Christ. And he says he's had a revelation of a mystery of Christ. And he says this in verse chapter 6. He talks about the mystery of Christ. And he says, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. And so Paul has understood this mystery of Christ. And what he means is that he understands now that he's encountered Jesus, that God always had a plan since the beginning of creation to bring people together to be part of his purpose to save the world, to gather together a group who were going to be his people. And this was something that was unclear in the time before Jesus because of a division in the world we talked about last week between those who were God's people and those who weren't. But this mystery became more obvious in the time after Jesus because he brought into the world a new way for people to be reconciled to God and with each other so they could come together. And so to be a member of the church is to be a member of this, the mystery of Christ, or a body of people that are united in Jesus. That's what it means. And that shows us what God intended to do all along. And Paul says in verses 10 to 11, God's intent was that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God would be made known to the world according to the purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he's saying the church, this group that God's brought together, is a kind of living sign to the world about God's plan. It's about his wisdom and his grace. It's a sign to the world that God is actually at work. And so this mystery of Christ is this revelation that God is at work. And what it is Jesus himself. So the mystery is this amazing truth that through the life of Jesus, through his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead and the Holy Spirit coming on us, the world has actually changed and God's plan has been revealed. People can be saved. We can be forgiven and know God again. We can forgive others and heal the world in which we live. People can be reconciled with God and with each other. And so this is a mystery which has not been obvious in history, that that was God's plan, because we live in division. But it's now been seen. And so the mystery of Christ then is a reality that something new has come into the world, something that has changed everything and changed the way we relate to God and to each other. And the something that has come into the world is God himself. He entered the world as a human being. So when we think, why is it God wants to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ? But how can that happen? Well, the reason is that Jesus in himself is the unity of heaven and earth. So Jesus was fully God and fully human. He brought those two things together. And I think this is something I always need to remind myself. What's at the heart of my faith? What's at the heart of the church? At the heart of it is this mystery, which is actually that God could become a human being and live with us. God became a human being to live with us. And not just that, but as a human being, he enabled us to become part of what he's doing, to become something new, something that's divine. I talked a few weeks ago in my signpost series of sermons about a good summary of the Christian faith, the gospel that Paul's talking about, which was often used in the early days of the church, where they said, God became human so that humans could become like God. And so this is this mystery of Christ. God's come down to us so that we can be part of what he's doing and go up to him. And this is what Paul is talking about in verse 12. He says, in him, in Jesus, and through faith in him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. That's the mystery of Christ. In him we can approach God confidently with freedom because he's come to us. That's his mystery. And so Paul says, when the church, you know, the Jews and the Gentiles together, which he talks about, which just means everyone in the world because there's no one else apart from Jews and Gentiles. So when the church comes together to show to the world that Christ is real, this mystery, to the enemies of God and the powers that oppose him, then this mystery and the wisdom of God is revealed in public. And that's the goal of the church. So to be a member of the church is to become a servant of this good news, as Paul said, and someone who shows that it's real. So he talks about the gospel, that just means good news. Paul is a servant of the good news of Jesus, and so is everyone else who's a member of the church. So this is what Paul's talking about, this big picture. I'm a member of something that God is doing throughout history and throughout the world. And so that's our big kind of big ideas, and we can bring it probably a bit more down to our own experience here at St. Mark's or churches like us. Just to think again, what does it mean for me to be a member of a church? What's my attitude to the church? How do I understand it? And Paul encourages us then to think deeply about what it means for us to be part of a community like this. What's our attitude to the church and how do we think about our membership in it? And I think that what Paul writes here for us is actually gives us a bit of a criticism of some of the general attitude towards religion, towards spiritual things in our culture. In Australia, we are trained, all of us, from birth, whether or not we're members of the church or not, to think of our faith perhaps as a fairly private and consumer kind of practice. Because we live in a consumer society, that's pretty obvious. And basically in a consumer society, everything is a product. Everything in our life is a product that we can choose to consume from the preferences that we have. And so what happens is then when we come to think about our faith or our church, we apply this to our religion as well. We'll pick a product that meets our needs, a church option or a spiritual experience that fits in with our lifestyle and the way we'd like to live. And so the church then often seems to be a part of our life that I've chosen, a small part if it's not that important to me, or a large part if it is. And Paul is would ask us to question that attitude or to criticise it a little. And I think in our hearts, if we're followers of Jesus, we know there's often a problem with how we approach our faith in this way. And that's probably why people feel guilty when they talk to me about how often they come to church and why they want to talk to me about it a lot. But the question is, what do we do about this? How do we have a proper attitude to the church? Because the answer really isn't about how many times we attend worship. It's not necessarily that, oh, well, we need to ramp up our church attendance, make sure we're here every week, get past some bar or level that makes us a good Christian or member of the church. A room full of guilty Christians who feel they should be here is not really what Paul is talking about. That's not membership of the church. That's not the vision. What it is really is a reminder for us and a challenge about our personal relationship to the mystery of Christ and how that's revealed in our lives and so how that is at the centre of what we're doing. Because the church exists to be a witness to the world of the reality of what Jesus has done. And so the church here in Emerald and in other places, it exists as a gathering together of these members of Christ's body in one place to witness to the world what's going on and to encourage each other to do that. You know, so it talks about members of the body. You know, our body has all these different parts. You know, we don't get the members of our body together so they can show how good members of the body that they are. We get them together. Our body comes together to form a body that is healthy and can get things done that need to be done. And this is something that Paul talks more about in his letter, the 1 Corinthians, in chapter 12. He talks about the church as the body of Christ. He says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. And he talks about the necessity. Our bodies have different parts, eyes, hands, all the other bits that go up to make us who we are. And they all have different jobs. And so to be a member of the church is to be part of this body and to find your own place in it, in God's plan to reveal Jesus to the world. And all of us have our own part to play. And yes, part of that is our faithful worship of God, regularly part of as of our life. And we might need to resist the temptation to treat church in a consumer way. But the church is more than our gatherings on Sunday, but it's not less. But it is certainly is more than that, and a lot more than that. So I want to talk to you a bit just about the idea of vocation, which is really important when we think about what it means to be the member of the church. So if you're not familiar with this idea, vocation, it's another word for what we might say is our calling in life, okay? Our purpose for our life. I mean, what do we do with the life that we've been given, and what are we here for? How do we live out the central purpose of our life in everything that we do? That's what vocation means. And so as Christians, our vocation, our calling, our purpose comes from this call to us that God has a plan for the world and wants us to be part of. And that's what it means to be part of the church, to have a calling to do that. So we read in this passage that Paul found his vocation in being an apostle to the Gentiles and telling them about Jesus. That was the central thing in his life, which he was living out in various ways. And so our calling includes our role in the church and what God's calling us to do, to serve him and to serve other people. So maybe you're called to be a teacher or an evangelist or to serve in some other way that shows Jesus to the world. That's a calling, a vocation. But it's bigger than that also. It also asks us to see every role that we have in our lives, everything that we do, as an opportunity to show the mystery of Christ to the world, to be a servant of the gospel in that area. And so this includes things like our relationships and our calling there. So as we go through Ephesians, in a couple of weeks, we're going to spend quite a bit of time on the idea of the vocation of marriage and the single life and what it means to live out our faith in those areas. How those are a calling where we can live in a Christian way. Or our vocation might include the industry or the profession where we work. God's calling us to work there, to live there, to be part of that, what's going on in the world, and to show Jesus there and God's plan. That's a vocation, that's a calling, that's part of being the church. To be a parent is a vocation. We're showing Jesus to our children and build it and through our family life. And so there are so many different ways you can apply this to everything that we do. So this is about being the church. What does it mean to be a member of the church? To be a member of the church is about the purpose of our whole life and everything that we do being centered on our calling as Christian people. That's what it means to be a member of the church. And our calling is to show the world that God is really at work through the Spirit, through the way that we live, to reveal the mystery of Christ in everything. That's what it means to be part of the church. And we can see that really clearly when we gather here this morning, and that's why we call it coming to church. We're gathering, we're actually showing by our unity together that the Christ is real. But it's also shown in the other 6 days of the week by the way that we live in everything that we do. So regardless of whether or not we're at church, we're always being the church. And that's what Paul reminds us today. So I want us to keep that in mind as we think about this. I'm going to spend a bit of time in reflecting on this, what it means for us at the moment. I'm going to read to you now as a time of reflection from 1 Corinthians 12 again, chapter 4, verses 4 to 13. So I'm going to read bits of this passage again slowly. And I'd like as I read for you to think, well, is God speaking to me about my own calling, about my own vocation and what it means for me to be part of the church? So I'd like to give this time of reflection over to him as we listen to him. So I'm going to read this through slowly and give us time to reflect on that. Okay? So you can close your eyes and think or listen or read as we go along. Lord, we ask you to speak to us about our vocation and our calling and what it means for us to be the church. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in everyone. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All of these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. As we prayed today, Lord, we prayed that the Spirit would come upon us with power, that we'd experience your presence, that you would raise up in us the gifts that we need to do the work that you've called us to do. We pray, Lord, that if our vocation, our calling is unclear to us now, you would make it clear to us, and that we would see every aspect of our lives as an opportunity to reveal Jesus. We pray that as a church, we would be a witness to the world that you are real. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing now.
Thank you, that was terrific. many years ago, I prayed that prayer. Lord, what are my gifts? Where do you want me? So as a few of you know, he sent me to prison for 22 years, ministering to people, that is, of course. And to this very day, it's been an absolute blessing, and it was a place that I never thought that I could be used, but God can use you, and you've got so many gifts. But the only way he will use you is, it's like electricity, you've got to earth it. So we're going to stand and we're going to sing this next song so we can earth it. It's Let God Arise, and because that's what we got to do. We've got to let God rise up in us, because his enemies will run for sure. This church.